Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to all those that have traveled. Kim and families traveled to Brazil. It's good to see you all. Elvis and gone to Kenya. He's back. And hey, the Lord has a plan for your life. The Lord desires, above all else, the Lord desires relationship with you and I. The Lord desires that you draw closer to him. And also that you discover him, you discover his heart, the heart that he has for you. You know, the word says that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And in that drawing near, we will begin to discover more about God and the plans that he has for our lives, that he has for your family. One of the things I want to encourage all parents is that in 2026, make a decision that you are going to pray for your children. Amen. Make a decision that you are their chief prayer warrior. You are the one that is interceding for your children and asking that God will direct the path for your children, because YouTube does not have a problem in standing up, being a warrior for your children, or all those other channels. They've got no problem in coming after your children. In fact, dare I say, they don't make any apologies. They do it willingly, and their desire is to destroy whatever they can do to get a hook in your children so that their lives are destroyed. That's how well-intentioned they are. Now, us as people of God, we've got to be even more well-intentioned for our children, well-intentioned with the Lord to intercede for our kids. Because, you know, our time, you know, I mean, we've been given children as blessings to us. We want to see them move forward in the things of God. So this is a very strong encouragement for all parents, that you would intercede for your children, you would pray for them, for your grandchildren. And the prayers are, they're not magnificent prayers. Lord, watch over my children. Watch over their way. Lord, any friend that wants to take my child away from the path of God, please don't bring them close to my child. Those are honest prayers. It's not any hocus pocus stuff. It's real. Say, God, make a way for my children. Your hand of protection, that wherever they go, that you would watch over them and you'd protect them, protect their mind so that they don't open themselves up to things that become hooks in their life. Who's ever been hooked on anything? Ah, these are very dishonest people in here. you can be hooked. Did you say sport? Yes, you can be hooked on sport, the TV. You can be hooked on other undesirable things. I'm telling you, people are well-intentioned for you. Right now, as we speak, they're having meetings about you. How can we do our best to make sure that these people stay in debt for what? Forever. How can we do our best to attract them to the new pair of shoes, the new jacket? I have some really sad stories about shopping. Very sad. So, you know, when you look back and you think, there are some dumb things that I've done in my life. I've been caught up in consumerism. Because what it was doing, it was feeding something on the inside of me that was lacking. I would always run to Maya whenever I'd come from Port Hedland to buy stuff. And stuff that I would never wear. The funny thing, I'd always tell myself, you know what, I'll buy two sizes. And unfortunately, instead of going to those sizes, I even went above, way above what I currently was. And so those became gifts for some people. I say this with a genuineness that let us be very aggressive. In fact, that is the word. Let us be very aggressive when it comes to our children, when it comes to our, I'm talking to the fathers here. Let us be very aggressive when it comes to our families, protecting our wives, protecting our children, Amen. Otherwise, you know, why are you a guy if you can't protect? Now, I'm not saying that ladies can't protect. I didn't say that. Now, if you see me, a guy with muscles, and you see me being beaten up by a skinny guy, won't you all think that's a bit odd? Those muscles should, you know, they're there for something, for a purpose. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about muscles. I am to talk about, hey, let's fight for our children. Let's fight for our families. Let's fight for our wives. Next week, we have a special service. We'll be ordaining Donovan Poirier as in the role, in the office of being a pastor. So next week, Sunday, we're going to be here. Some of our board members will be here. And we'll just be laying hands on Mr. Donovan. We'll pour him with a bit of oil. So don't bring your best shirt. Or just bring a towel to put around yourself. And just anointing that, you know, the Lord would bless you as you step into this role, in this office of being which has been your calling. So this morning I'm here to encourage you as we are, here we are. Did they put these things on the seats? Yes. They did? Okay, thank you. This is the fifth year we've been doing this. Now I want to confess that when Pastor Nigel and Andrea handed the church to us in 2020, I thought, okay, what are we going to do next year, January 2021? We are going to start the year hard, 21 days of fasting. And I said, you know, I'm going to let the church know that we're going to introduce 21 days of fasting. And you guys are very lucky that Pastor Onami said, no, we're only going to do 3 days. I said, 21 days? She said, no, 3 days. And I'm glad she said 3 days. Because, you know, you want to slowly build into things. 21 days would have been really, you know, harsh and onerous. And there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's a good thing if you're going to fast for 21 days, 40 days, fast for 60 days, all that. But what she was just saying is that, hey, let's start small. Let's build the culture of fasting and prayer into our Christian disciplines so that we don't treat this as an event, that it should become a lifestyle of what we do. And so gradually as a church over the years, we went 3 days, 3 days, and then we started to go 3 days in January, 3 days in July. Last year, we moved it up to 5 days in January and in July. This year, we've graduated a bit. We are going 7 days in January, and then we're going to do it again in July. But my whole encouragement is that let's make this a lifestyle. It's something that we put in we pray and we read the word and we fast. So this morning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you." Jesus isn't correcting behavior in the verse that we've just read. He's addressing the heart behind the behavior. You see, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches on giving, he teaches on prayer and on fasting. And he does it with the word when you give, when you pray, when you fast, not if. These aren't occasional events. What he's saying to us is that these are supposed to be a way of life for you, that when you give, when you pray, when you fast. What Jesus is warning you and I from is performative spirituality, where everything is about performance. And he's saying, don't give to be seen. Don't pray to be heard. Don't fast to be admired, that everybody says, wow, you're a special breed of Christian because you're fasting, you're praying, and you're giving. Why? Why does he say this? Because what Jesus is saying to you and I is that when people become the audience, their approval becomes the reward. And that reward is temporary in our lives. He reframes the whole practice to say, the practice stays the same when you give, when you pray, when you fast. But what happens is that the audience changes. You are doing it to the Father and not to people. These are supposed to be secretive things that you do. Like, have you ever, if you've borrowed money from someone, let's say I've borrowed money from Donovan, and I say, Donovan, I'm struggling, can I get a bit of money? And then John, he gives me $500. And then whenever we catch up with our friends, he says, do you guys know that I just gave $500 to Stephen? Like, he constantly is telling everybody that he meets, oh, yeah, and I borrowed Stephen. You know, you'll be like, there's no way I'm going to borrow from Donovan again. No matter how in dire straits I am, I would rather, you know, not borrow from him. Our audience changes that we are doing it for the Father. There are certain things in our lives that should be secret. Jesus is talking about what is the motivation behind why you do things. It's why you do it and who you're doing it for. Private obedience produces public fruit. And what is done for God's eyes carries God's reward. So fasting is first mentioned in the Bible, and the practice of fasting when Moses stayed on the mountain. He says he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not eat anything. So Moses, when Moses fasted, it was due to an encounter with God. The other times, if we read the Old Testament, you would find that people, the prophets would always encourage people to fast. And this was because they stopped following the Lord, and there was a lot of sin in their lives. And so the fasting then was to bring them back into alignment with God. So fasting was then done through the prophets to bring alignment to God. But Jesus introduces something else about fasting, is that sometimes we fast for intimacy with the Father. That our motivation for fasting is about intimacy with the Lord. And so, why should we fast? And I think, in fact, the deepest level of fasting is when you fast for intimacy, not for things. And it's okay to fast for things. But the deepest one is when you say, hey, Lord, all I want is you. I have no agenda. My only agenda is to know you and to know you more. And my encouragement over these next 7 days is that you would grab a hold of one of these. They'll be sending out an invitation for a Zoom devotional, I think tomorrow, where you can join in for Zoom, where we gather together and we pray. Just encourage one another. So the focus is always for tomorrow, day one, we're seeking God. Lord, we are setting our priorities right as a family. We are putting our plans before you. Father, we are looking to do this and that. We are bringing it before you. We are putting you first in our lives. So why should you fast? Or why fast? Sometimes we fast for deliverance. And we are saying, God, act on our behalf. We need you to act. At other times we fast. The reasons why we fast is for breakthrough. When we're trying to break some resistance in our lives. We also fast for direction. God, show us the way that we need to go. And then most importantly, it's the deepest one, fasting for intimacy. God, I just want you. I have no agenda but to know you more and more in our lives. And so when we fast for deliverance, we are saying, God, act on our behalf. In 2026, we don't know what the Lord has planned for you. But in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 1, it says, after this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told him, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Now, he could do that because he was the what? He was the king. Hey, everybody, disaster is coming our way. We're all fasting. So it says, so people from all the towns came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. He stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in the front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord, and he prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand against you. O our God, and then he begins to express all the promises of God, where God had brought them out of. And he talks about it, and he says, we cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us from the temple and rescue us. And he says, now see what the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir are doing. He then goes on to say, now see, like the children of Israel went around these people when they came from Egypt. They didn't go through and God did not destroy them. But the Moabites are coming against them. And this is why he cries out and he says, see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. And as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there, Jahaziel. And so he then began to say, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then he gives them directions. He says, tomorrow, march out against them. You'll find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness. But he says, but you'll not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. When we are fasting for deliverance, this is a cry for divine intervention when the situation is beyond human capacity. With this type of fasting, we are saying, if God does not move, we're in trouble. If you don't move, Lord, I am in very big trouble. So what happened, you see, is that Jehoshaphat, the king, and Judah and Israel didn't realize that an army was mobilizing against them. You and I don't realize the things that are coming in our lives. So for example, you might, and it's sort of like said, so they didn't realize that there were things that were mobilizing against them until a messenger came and said, hey, there's an army that's coming up against you and they're near. You see, this, the armies, instead, they'll tell you that the army is now at, is in Belia. We are here in Kwinana. So we know that the army was close. Disaster was nearby. This is why you find that they really cried out to God to say, God, you are the only one that can intervene in this situation. And you got to understand that the words that were used by these messengers were intimidating words. They said, a vast army. Now, what does that tell you? What does vast mean? Vast, huge. So this was meant to also intimidate. Just like when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, we ran a few tests and we found such and such. And all of a sudden, the intimidation factor steps in. But the good thing about this scripture that I want us to focus on is they cried out to the Lord. There was a blueprint that was given to us that we remind God of his promises to us. And we are asking, God, we need you to intervene. You see, this is why it's important to have a special prayer place where you go and you pray. Because remember, this guy said that when we come into your temple and we begin to cry out to you, you make a way for us. So there was a special place that they went to. You and I need to create that special place, whether it's in our homes or wherever it is, that you can go away and be with the Lord. The good thing is that that special place for you can be on the train on your way to work. It doesn't have to be, you know, anywhere kind of weird. But it's a place where you do things consistently, where you're meeting with the Lord. He reminds him of what the promises of God, and this is what we have to do. We have to remind the Lord of his promises. So what happens when we do that? God shifts the circumstances. The enemies are exposed. And battles are won without human strength. Because he says that you will watch, the battle is yours. And he gives them the strategy to say, go in this particular place. But guess what? You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to be old to understand that you are going to also have to one day intercede for somebody. You're going to have to cry out to the Lord for your parent that is sick, for your child that is sick, for your friends. Battles are won without human strength. Because we have to understand that when we fast for deliverance, it doesn't empower us to fight harder. Because the word that was spoken is that you need to stand. Stand in your position and see the deliverance of the Lord. Because what happens, you see, is that this fasting for deliverance, it positions God to fight for you and I. So we fast, fasting for deliverance. The other fasting that we can do, why we fast, is that we fast for breakthrough. We are saying, God, I need you to break this resistance. There's things that are opposing me that I need you to break. In Ezra chapter 8, there was just some disaster that had come upon the people. So it says that I assembled, let me just go to the verse that I want to get to, verse Ezra 8:21, thanks, Jeff. So anyway, what happened was that there was some disaster that was coming. And there it says that, and there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, because they were traveling from one place going on their way to Jerusalem. And so they wanted, they prayed for a what? For a safe journey, for protection. For I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, our God's hand of protection is on all who worship him, but his fierce anger rages against those who abandon. So he says, so we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. So they were afraid of an army that was going to hopefully besiege them. But God is the one who did what? Who interceded and fought for them. And then he says, and the gracious hand of our God protected us and saved us from enemies and bandits along the way. So we arrived safely in Jerusalem, where we rested for 3 days. So breakthrough is that there's a resistance that we're facing in our lives. There's things that seemingly oppose you, and you're saying, Lord, I'm asking that you would break this resistance. You would address this delay, this opposition in my life. So what happens is that when we seek the Lord for breakthrough, spiritual resistance is confronted, timing is unlocked, because it says that he protected us from that opposition, delivered us from that opposition, and made a way for us so that we would not be what? Intercepted and destroyed. So breakthrough fasting is not about forcing heaven, it's about aligning with what? Aligning with heaven's timing for us. Another reason we fast is we're fasting. Why fast? Fasting for direction. Hey, Lord, this is the beginning of the year. And this is the key thing. Don't just go to the Lord with no plan and just say, oh, yeah, I'm just... No, go to God with a plan and saying, Lord, I lay my plans before you. I commit my plans. This is what we're thinking of doing as a family. And God will direct you. So in Acts of the Apostles, verse chapter 13, it says, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch, there was Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen, and Saul. And it says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. And then, so they didn't just stop. So he says, after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. When we are fasting for direction, we are saying, God, show us the way. It doesn't matter how old you may be or how young. You've got to come to the Lord with some plans. Don't just come, hey, Lord, I'm thinking this. What do you say? That's the encouragement here, is that go to the Lord with some plans. Don't just go empty-handed and say, okay, Lord, whatever. No, go commit your plans, the scripture tells us, to the Lord, and he will what? Direct the way that you should go. So, when we are fasting for direction, this direction of fasting is practiced before decisions, not after mistakes. Not after we've made the mistake and then we say, oh Lord, I'm fasting for... No, you are doing it beforehand. And what you are saying is that I won't move until heaven speaks to me, until heaven gives me the clarity of what direction I'm supposed to go. What happens to you and I when we do this? We're fasting for direction. The Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you and tell you which way you should go. We do know that the Holy Spirit spoke, the leaders were appointed, and they were sent on their mission. Because direction fasting produces clarity in our lives, not pressure. God's voice becomes clearer as our human agendas quieten down. So whatever it is you're planning to do, you're planning to build, you're planning to buy, you're planning to sell, guess what? Take those plans to the Lord and say, Lord, this is the plan that we have. Direct our paths. And trust that God will give you the what? The wisdom to say, yep, go or not go. There's a time, I think it was in 2020, must have been not 20, 23, 24, I'm a John Maxwell coach, or Maxwell Leadership Institute coach, and one of the requirements is that I've got to go to America at least once a year for training. But I felt that year, I just remember speaking to our church coach and saying, you know, I sense that, in fact, I sense two things. The first one was that don't go to America this year. And that was the first time I've ever felt that nudge to, no, don't go this year. The second one, I was getting frustrated, you know, with one of my kids. And I said, you know what, the best, I got a good idea. Let me send them to Africa, where they will learn the hard way. But I sense the Lord, saying, you know what, don't do that. And boy, am I glad I didn't do that. Because where they were going to go, absolute disaster. The environment I would have placed them in would not have been good. Now, I thought it was good based on what I learned and how I grew up in Africa. But there was just that sensing that, don't do it. And I didn't do it. And I'm really glad that I didn't. So this direction fasting produces clarity, not pressure, in our lives. One of the key things I want to say about fasting, what it should produce in you and I. If you are fasting and you as a person are not becoming free, then you need to check your heart. Because fasting leads to transformation from within. If you've been fasting for many days or many years, but you're still the same grumpy person that you've been, then something is not shifting, because it should lead to freedom on the inside of you. In Isaiah chapter 58, it says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud, don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. And it says, yet they act so pious. You know, we're better than you all. We're very religious. They come to the temple every day and they seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action. This is God speaking. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. Oh, Lord, can you give me a breakthrough? But the only thing I want, I don't want the Lord. I just want the breakthrough, and then I'll go on with my life. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly in prison. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Here I am, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. And then he says, some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. The fast, you see, it is supposed to transform us. This passage is the clearest corrective to religious fasting. God is saying the fast that he chooses is the one that looses the chains of injustice, unties the cords of the yoke, sets the oppressed free. Because, you see, the goal is not just abstinence. Oh, I've gone 4 days or 7 days, not only eating one meal a day or whatever it might be. The goal is liberation. You are supposed to be getting free more and more. So, fasting exposes false dependencies. Because you know what happens? When our appetites are filled, we don't need a lot of things. They mask what's really good. But the moment you say, I'm going to not have breakfast, and I'm going to use that time to read the Word of God and pray, sometimes these things mask a lot of things that are going on in our lives. We fill ourselves with so many things. And what it does is that it dulls our senses and our ability to hear from the Lord. Fasting breaks cycles of control, of fear, and self-reliance. And so the question is that if after fasting, you are more judgmental, you are more anxious, you are more performance-driven, you are more proud or harsh, because you know what happens if you are fasting for at least 21 days, you tend to be a bit harsh to the people around you. Because it exposes the things that are within us and you begin to snap out at everybody. So when we begin to notice these things that we're not changing, the fast has become external discipline without internal surrender. I'm just going to finish it there. I'll get the guys to get back up. So what wants the Lord for us is that he wants transformation in our lives. He wants that as we fast, that we are letting go of the bitterness that's in our lives. Because you know what the thing about bitterness and unforgiveness is, that it holds us back from really moving forward. Up until we confront that and say, hey, God, I need you to do a work within me so that the person that I am that's constantly angry, constantly snappy, constantly ticked off, constantly not happy, that's not what God wants for your life. That there has to be a liberation that comes in our lives. We have to be, you know, we have to age like wine and we are better. This is the thing, is that when you fast, you can't become worse. Because the fasting should produce more Christ-likeness in us, not more devilishness in us. It might expose that, but the whole purpose is so that we can deal with those things and begin to move towards Christ-likeness. My encouragement is that whatever it is that you're going to do this year, that we set aside some time over the next 7 days to seek the Lord. Whatever you're going to choose to do, whether you're going to skip a meal, eat once a day, not eat at all, the choice is entirely up to you. But please do something. Now, if you're on medication, like Mr. Donovan said earlier, you got to take your medication. And if it requires you to eat, please do that. Let's be sensible around these things. So you decide for yourself. Okay, I'll fast for, I won't eat, I will eat, I'll eat vegetables. You decide for yourself. But do something and just say, hey, Lord, I give you this time. And what we've got here is a guide of the things that we'll be focusing on over the next 7 days. It clearly asks you to write 3 things you're praying for personally during the fast. Now, what we have here is just a guide. But if there are specific things that you want to fast for and pray for as a family or as an individual, Lord, help me this year so that I can understand more in class. My grades would get better. Lord, help me. I want to know you more this year. Write that down. And I'll finish with this. Since we moved to Perth in 2019, we'd always been praying that, you know, we would be able to purchase a home. And, you know, it was a bit of a struggle trying to find housing. COVID came and it made that housing situation even worse. And so I would always write down, Lord, I'm looking for a house. And, you know, you write down, and the years would go by and you just keep praying. We'd go visit open homes. And each time we'd visit those open homes, there'll be like 40 people there. So they might start off, the house is being offered for $100. But by the time they go through the whole process, they want $400. Somebody's willing to pay $400, you know. But the house was listed at $100. Now, you do know that I'm only, you know, there's no house for $100. So last year, I'd written down again, hey, Lord, I'm fasting for a crib. I'd written down the things that I want in the house, X, Y, Z. And one day, to show you how the Lord moves and how the Lord will move in your life for breakthrough. This thing where it says, you know, that scripture that we read in 2 Chronicles, it says that the battle is the Lord's. One day in July last year, I'm at home. I have a meeting at 3:30 with someone in the city. And my wife comes back from work. She comes back from work and she says, oh, I'm not feeling well. And then I was leaving for South Africa in about 2 weeks, and the lease on our rental was expiring, I think on the 7th of August. And then, you know, my wife says, oh, you know, what are we going to do now? I might have to renew the lease, so on and so forth. And I said this out of mere frustration so that she would just get out of my ear, because she says, oh, you know, you're going away now, so now I've got to do all this. And I just said, you know what, just apply, just keep searching for something. And I was doing it just so that she would stop, you know, she would stop talking. And so eventually that very same afternoon, she went on the internet, found a house. And she says, let me call the real estate agent. She called the agent up and the agent said, oh, okay, I can give you a viewing in the next. So we named the time. So I said 2:15. We went there at 2:15. We saw the house. The time then, yeah, it was about, we got there. It was by the time we got there, 2:15. When we left, we put an offer in probably around 4:30 that afternoon. At 8:30 the next morning, the house was sold to us. Now, this is a brag, not on the Lord, because, you see, when that scripture says that you will go to this valley, but you will not have to do anything, that house was going to go to be an open home on the Wednesday. And it didn't go through an open home, which means that the price that we paid was significantly less than what it would have been had we had many people battling for that home. But more importantly, when the lady, the real estate agent, said, and this is the timing of the Lord, and my encouragement is that God will bring breakthrough in your life. The lady said, my son's appointment was canceled. So now I became available to show you the house. Only the Lord can do that. So my encouragement is that whatever it is that you're seeking from the Lord, write it down. And you will see that it's not you trying to manufacture things. It is the Lord that's making a way for you. Whatever it is, if you're just saying, Lord, I want to be a better person, write it down. Or Lord, I want to be free, write that down. I want my family, whatever it is that you desire of the Lord, write this down and you'll see what the Lord will do for you. Let's just stand this morning as we finish. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you that you're a covenant-keeping God. You're a God that is alive. May you rise in our lives and may our enemies scatter. Father, I pray for your people that in 2026 we'll draw closer to you. I pray for everybody as they embark, as we all embark on this fast, Lord God. As we, Lord God, say we are setting aside some time to seek you. We are looking to you, Lord God, for direction, for breakthrough, and for deliverance in our lives. Lord, may we know you more in 2026. And even if our desire, Lord God, is to just know you more, know of your presence, I thank you for your people, Lord God, and that whatever it is that they're seeking from you, Lord God, that it will be done in Jesus' mighty name. And I'm just going to pray an invitation for those that don't know the Lord. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me and to bring me into relationship with you. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that is you that has made that decision this morning to say, hey, I'm going to seek the Lord, I encourage you to raise your hands where we can see and we can give you something that will help you along your journey. But we are going to sing through this morning the song, the last one we sang. And if you need prayer, please come to the front. We'll pray for you. Whatever it is that you desire of the Lord. Amen. Let's sing. Thank you.
You are the other door.
Let's just raise our hands to the Lord this afternoon as we finish. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your people. Bless them as they leave this place. Watch over their families, Lord God. Protect them. And Father, may you reveal yourself to them. Make your presence known to them. I thank you, Lord God. Bless them and protect them. Watch over them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church.